Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. We're on episode 8 of season 7, and if you've just joined us, I am Robin of At a Tired Witch Everywhere, and I'm joined by the beautiful, the ethereal, the crowd-pleasing Maria.
Crowd-pleasing?
Crowd-pleasing. People are always like, wow, she's a real crowd-pleaser.
Many say this.
Magic with Maria everywhere.
Yeah. That's me, crowd pleaser.
They're always like, ooh, she's a crowd pleaser. She's a teaser. She's a big little mama. Woo, woo, woo.
That's my theme song.
That is your theme song.
Whenever I enter a house. Yeah.
That's what I'm she's on. No longer mother. She is crowd pleasing Maria.
Ew.
Yeah. What's that woman who, the sex worker who had sex with all those men to break her record?
Oh, wow. I'm so glad you're relating me to her.
Because that's you, girl. That is literally who I'm relating you to. What's her name?
I don't know, she's but I know really who you're pretty. Talking about. And she got like super sick from all that. So. Interesting.
I don't remember her name, but I remember her face, and she's very pretty. And that's you. You are the same.
No, thank you.
You're literally a crowd pleaser. Anyway, this month, our instructor has had some personal stuff going on. They've been a little under the weather, the person who I set us up with that, and that's not their fault. And so we're just moving them to another month, a future date, because your health always matters, right, Maria?
Yep. Yeah, it does.
Physical, mental, and otherwise, your health matters. Now, that being said, because of this, I have decided that I'm going to jump in for the class last minute.
We'll be offering queen.
Yeah, well, because people are here to have classes, man, and I'm not trying to be like, sorry, guys. That's what we're here for, right? We're here to
fill in,
adjust when need be. So that being said, my class is going to be on Monday, June 29th. It is going to be at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So not on our normal weekends, but that's what worked for my calendar. So jump on board, guys. And I'm going to be doing a class on childhood magic. So my kind of intention with the class is, if you are a parent, doing like backyard potions with your kids that actually have some alignment. And if you don't have children, kind of capturing that childlike wonder again to have better success in your spells.
Cute. I love that.
Yeah. So it's going to be a 2-part class. That way it covers both parents and people who don't have children. Yeah. So hopefully you join me for that. It's going to be great.
That's adorable. I love that. Yeah.
We're adapting. We're adapting to what needs must.
That is like the season's motto.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. Well, we will get into this when we do coffee talk, but this last like month and like 4 to 6 weeks has been fucking rough.
I think it's just this year. This year has been a year. It's been a year.
I think we had a pretty good start to the year.
Yeah.
I feel like the start of the year was like
on fire at the same time.
Well, I mean, aside from that, I feel like we've had a pretty good start. We just the season change this year has been a little bit more rough than usual, and we're adapting and we're doing our best to combat the ebbs and flows.
The word of the day is adapt.
Do we have any other announcements we need to talk about before we get into it?
I think we're coming.
Woohoo! If you just joined us this week, every week we talk about upcoming astrological phases and how you can utilize them in your magical practice. As a reminder, we don't talk about moon phases in depth anymore. You got 6 whole seasons you can go back to and find the moon phase that works for you. I will be mentioning them, of course, but I will not be going deep diving. That being said, the first one in relationship to this episode is going to be on June 21st. The sun is entering Cancer, baby. It's my season, baby.
It's Robin's birthday speaking, season.
The hottest people were born in Cancer season.
I have to agree because Scarlett's a Cancer too.
It's true. Like, you literally can't argue otherwise your wife will divorce you.
Yeah, it's true.
Overall, Cancer season is really great for ancestor work. It's good for home blessings and protections, and just really anything that makes us feel really cozy. If you are in a period of emotional upheaval with your family, this would be a good time. And you wish to repair that. This would be a good time to focus on magic that has healing familial wounds. Maybe this is family trauma the phrase is blanking me.
Generational
trauma, and you're working on magic for that to release some of that stuff. Maybe it's the fact that you and your mom haven't spoken in for a year and you would like that to change. It is a big emphasis on you have to want that to happen. This is not like, I'm not trying to say fix your family. I'm saying if you want that, this is a good time for it. The next one is June 28th. Mars is entering Gemini. Again, we see communication spells when we deal with anything with Mars, right? But specifically, we are looking at receiving work. At least this is how I feel when we have Mars entering Gemini. It's because it's such a curious and adaptable phase, astrological transit. This is very much about receiving. So how are we receiving it? How are we receiving messages? Maybe we're going to try a new form of divination that we've never tried before, that we have to kind of puzzle piece, right? Understanding and interpreting. On June 29th, we're going into retrograde, Mercury retrograde. Here's the thing. Retrograde is often feared.
It is.
We often freak out about it, but the reality is that this is a time for just being more conscious overall when it comes to how we communicate and whether that is online with other people, how we are sending our work and words out into the world, and if we're going to use it for spell work, this might be a good time to return to unfinished creative work. This might be a good time to do spell work on breaking patterns that we keep repeating for ourselves. Because it is very much about breakdown, right? It is very much about things not functioning as they should. Maybe we flip the script on that and utilize it magically in a way that is going to serve us best. I don't know. Retrograde, I think it's a bad rap.
I don't know. I get it, because every single time something in the house inevitably breaks down, and
retrograde to my editor to my agent of a chapter of my book, and it was unedited, unread, and was nonsense. So,
cool. Yeah, I just say that if you want to avoid anything technological wise breaking down on you, go ahead and pour Mercury like a little ripple. Just give them a little ripple.
It gives you wings.
Give them wings.
It gets a bad rap. It doesn't need such a bad rap.
It's just annoying and expensive.
It's annoying, but we don't need to freak out about it. June 29th, the full moon is in Capricorn. Again, Go back to previous episodes for that. June 30th, Jupiter is entering Leo. Jupiter in general expands everything that it touches, and Leo is all about confidence and how we express ourselves with like creative joy, self-expression, leadership, courage. Like it is the lion, right? So we're going to do spell work like confidence and self-worth spells. Maybe this is a good time to dive into glamour magic, especially with it being Jupiter. If you already have a glamour magic routine, this is a good time to just expand on that and maybe take it another step further. Maybe refresh the things that you already have going on. It's a good time to do visibility for business as well. So either you have a business or you're thinking about starting one, this is a good time for networking, that sort of thing. Do you have anything extra to add?
I think it's such a great grounding moon. If you need some serious grounding, just go stand outside during the full moon and just like plant yourself.
That's crazy. You're going to sleep outside with the bugs?
No, I didn't say sleep. I said go put your feet.
Oh, I thought you said sleep outside. I was like, girl.
No.
It's summertime. You live in South Carolina. Are we being fucking for real?
No, I literally had to smack a mosquito off the Scarlet's face yesterday. Like, that's not happening. No, no, no.
Off her face?
Yeah, I was like already sucking the blood. And I was like, no!
Do you know that only pregnant mosquitoes are the ones that suck the blood from you?
Yeah.
So honestly, if you think about it, it's like pretty anti-women to like kill mosquitoes.
Oh no. If they cease to exist, I'd be happy.
Oh my gosh.
If anything could lemming, I wish it was mosquitoes. I'm sorry. I know they're pollinators.
Chat, really
and
cancel
food.
Her. Chat, we need to cancel her and stuff.
But no. No, no, no. Hate them. That them and ticks. Like they can seriously just go disappear.
So every episode we talk about tarot. Previous seasons, we've gone over individual meanings of cards. We've gone over themes. We have gone over whole sections in tarot. And we have also, oh my gosh, I'm like losing my train of thought. But anyways, this season, we're concentrating on doing individual pulls again, but with a twist. This twist is that we're doing like a collective reading. It may or may not resonate with you, and that is okay. Take it if it resonates, but leave it if it doesn't. That's okay. Sometimes messages aren't meant for you. This is just for people that it is. Okay, let's go ahead and see. I'm using Tarot of Mystical Moments this round. It is my favorite deck in the entire world and has been since, probably almost like what?
Noticing you didn't say now? Magical Tarot by Robin Valentine is your favorite of the whole world. That's crazy. Learning a lot. Fake friend.
No, I love your deck.
I'm only kidding. I'm literally only kidding.
Okay, let's see what plopped out here.
So we got the Seven of Pentacles. Okay, the way that I view this card, it is a card of being like, you know, you are seeing progress in your life. You are witnessing like your goals coming to fruition, or even like something you've been spending a lot of time and energy on, like actually becoming something tangible. But the thing is, it's not quite ready yet, but it's still worth celebrating how far you have come thus far. But it is a call to be patient. It is not ready. As I said, it's not ready to pick just yet. And it's going to take a little bit more work and, and some more tender love and care. But it will be well worth the effort in the end. Like, but yes, celebrate how far you've come. But let's not just go ahead and get lazy. Like, it's still time for work. And you'll get there.
It's a humility card for sure.
Yeah. How about you?
It's like it's such an affirmation that we're on the right track and we're doing things well. Mm-hmm. And like when I see this card come up, it very much is like, good job, Robin. Like you're doing all the right things. You're doing a really good job. But like, don't get comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's
Sorry, yeah, I don't know. It just keeps things really humble. It's like you are allowed to celebrate in the fact that you are doing well with things while simultaneously you know, keeping it humble.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know. It's this one of those cards that I don't feel like there's a lot of like external interpretations on.
No. If it was reversed, I would have a lot of thoughts. But yeah, since it's upright, I really don't have a lot of thoughts. Just keep doing your hard work, guys. Just keep working at it. You're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie.
Great, sweetie. This week, we decided to talk about ocean magic. Ooh, the ocean. Wah, wah. Crabs, seashells,
mermaids. What a wild thing to like start off with.
Well, like, crabs are part of the ocean.
Crabs.
I'm a Cancer. I'm thinking about me, girl. I'm under siege. She's attacking me as a person, everybody.
No, we thought it'd be fun to talk about
ocean magic. It is, as we've said, the start of a new season. Summertime. Solstice is, as of today, 5 days away.
Crazy.
Which, that won't be the case when this comes out, but whatever. So we just decided to talk about something that at least unifies us with the summertime season. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because we're both like planning to go to the beach and put our feet in the sand and, you know, play with some water.
It's important to note that beaches are not just the ocean. Although, yes, we are talking about ocean magic. Mm-hmm. Beaches are, you know, it's fresh water, too.
Even sea, you know, like landlocked, like there's.
My husband just sent me a really gross text. he just sent me a very gross text.
Robin?
We'll talk about this. We'll talk about this on the coffee talk. Anyway. So it's beaches. Okay, so let's stop. The first question that we've written down is why the beach is a magical place to be. Maria, why do you feel the beach is a magical place to be?
I feel like it's the cauldron of the world. It literally is. Like like life came from the ocean. And yeah. I feel like the ocean, like it's still a complete mystery about what, you know, lies in its like depths. And it's just a place of
how much have we explored of the ocean?
I think it's only like 10%. Like it's crazy. It's a crazy number. Robin's looking it up right now.
I am. Okay. As of April 2026, mm-hmm. less than 0.001% of the deep ocean seafloor has been visually explored. And only about 28.7% of the global seafloor has been mapped with modern high-resolution technology.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
So way lower than I thought.
Lower. I guess it depends on what is our definition of exploring it, right? And
knowing what's there. Like,
right.
There's so many things we do. We're discovering new ocean creatures all the time.
I know. It's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary because the deeper that you go, the scarier that they look. So cool. Mm-hmm. Cool.
What are those fish that have like the little like things on the front of them and they have like the big underbites?
I told you. Oh my gosh.
Yuck.
But they're tiny too. Like people think that they're huge, but they're like
really
that big. Yeah, they're small.
I thought they would have been huge.
I don't know why they depict them as so big and like.
What are they called?
Anglerfish.
I'm looking it up. I want to know how big they are, like actual size. Okay. Most anglerfish are about 1 foot.
Okay, so they are bigger than I thought.
But some can grow up to be 4 feet.
Okay, never mind. I lied.
However, there is a discrepancy between male and female. So the males are way smaller than the females.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Which asses are right to be the bigger ones, the girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I think the ocean is... it's just like magic, you know, it's a mystery, and it's that whole like liminal space and it being like a mirror. And even like I work with Hecate, and I really like, there's parts of her story that connect her deeply to the ocean, and so like there's that deity level aspect for it too for me. And yeah, it's just, oh, such a beautiful place to be, and to like, you can literally feel how magical it is if you just like go to the beach.
Totally. And I do understand why oceans on like a base level are connected so closely to like feminine energy, like mm-hmm. not females, but feminine energy, because there mm-hmm. is such a like mystery and depth and like ever changing kind of attitude to it, because like the feminine end of energy very much is much more adaptable to the rigidity of like masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that is so perfectly personified with the ocean. And it is really interesting that on like a historical level that we have always connected the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful, right?
It is. Well, if life came from the ocean, I mean, the ocean is technically as close to, you know, like
eggs in an ovary.
Well, that, yeah, but also like even just deity as a whole. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I do know what you mean. It's very much like, it's very like unintentionally symbolic.
Yeah. I feel like we are like half like stardust, you know, from like meteors and stuff, and then ocean water.
That's very beautiful.
Thank you.
Write you,
that
girl.
Shit down. I'm putting that on an Instagram quote.
Put it on a t-shirt, babe. You're going to be the new, we're the witches, you couldn't burn, you, or fucking no, whatever. Shut up. That's going to be your new, that's your new slogan.
Hell no. Well, yes,
hell yes.
When I said yes.
I want to see that for you.
I'd rather have that than
you're like, I'd actually rather
thing.
Pass away. Thank you for asking.
Well, but so what's your favorite like rituals to do on the beach? Do you do anything special when you go?
Okay, so I live in California. In California, there is this wild misconception that beaches look like they do in the movies. Mm-hmm. And that is very true for like the southernmost part of California, but California is a very large state, and basically from like I want to say like just a little bit north of San Francisco, but also some of San Francisco as well, north, mm-hmm. our beaches are rocky. And they're cold, mm-hmm. and the water's cold. The Pacific Ocean is fucking freezing. It's so cold. People who go swimming in the Pacific are insane, in my opinion. We also have great white sharks. Like, oh my gosh, talk about the volatile end. So when I go to the beach, I like to just kind of sit and enjoy and just like be in the moment. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? But if I'm like in Australia visiting my best friend, I am like, the ocean, the beaches there are so different, and not like in a, again, movie way where it's like, oh, everybody's so tanned and skinny and at the ocean and they're swimming. And like, yeah, there's a degree of that being true, but the actual ocean itself there is so much more alive.
Mm-hmm.
Like our ocean here is cold. It is foggy, it's rocky, it's like you go there to just kind of sit and be present and put your toes in the water, and maybe you'll see a shark fin, right? Mm-hmm. And when I go to those beaches, I'm like sat there and like a million tiny little crabs are crawling all over me, and mm-hmm. I'm like getting in the water and like having to be mindful of like stingrays and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those things that I am very privileged to have gotten to experience and enjoy both ends, extreme ends of the spectrum in that way. And so because of that, I have a very, I don't know, fluid relationship with the ocean, where it is mm-hmm. very much like, for me, just being present.
Being present's a big thing at the beach.
Yeah, it's just being present. And
it's very meditative.
Yeah. And so even on like these two very opposite ends of things, like, yes, I will enjoy the ocean itself very differently, but the majority of it is being very present to get to experience things like, you know, sea glass hunting at our beaches, or checking out all the tiny, teeny tiny little crabs. And yet both are very sat in the present moment and just kind of grounding myself in that moment, you know? And because the ocean does cover 70% of our planet, although it is obviously not Earth, it is water, it is still very grounding.
It is. Well, it has Earth incorporated in it because of all the salt. Yeah. It's like one of those, you know, multifaceted like pieces of land. And then you have the sun, you have fire, and then you have like the wind, air, like it's all there. It's all there. We can find it. But for me, one of the first things I really like to do when I go is kind of like create like a beach offering. And I do like a pentagram, and I use like materials that I find on the beach, like driftwood or like seaweed, or even reeds. And I like make a little pentagram, and I kind of like sit there for a second, connecting to all the elements and just kind of like thanking the ocean for all that it does. And also apologizing for us like dumping like a shit ton of waste in it. And, but, you know, and then I do obviously make it a point to like clean up after myself when I leave, and even leave the place better than I left it. So if I see something just like trashy, I'll clean it up on the way out. But another thing that I really like to do is, so I do this whole thing where like I will be like on the sand, like reading or just closing my eyes. And then like I will take breaks to just go hop into the ocean and get like waist deep, and then like come back out and then cook. I just like this whole cycle that I repeat the whole time we're at the beach. And but when I'm in the ocean, I like to do cleansing rituals where, you know, like when the waves like crash into you, you kind of think about where you are now. And when it like the waves pull back out, you think about it like cleansing everything that that no longer resonates or that you need to let go of. And I don't know, I find it very cleansing and wonderful. I'm trying to think about what else I do. But yeah, meditation's a big thing on the beach.
Do offerings. Do you ever do that at the beach?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I think the pentagram that I do is like an offering almost because it's a way to show appreciation and stuff. But but I do like meditating. Like we try to go to the beach at night and yeah, it's so beautiful because you can see all the stars and you can hear the ocean. And it's just a great time to like meditate and just be for a little bit. I don't know. I find that very special. And you can see like just the moon, especially if the moon is out and it's reflecting off of the ocean and it's like a whole mirror. Like you have like this whole thing that you can set up even like a scrying ritual right there. It's just, I don't know. I am very fond of the ocean.
Yeah, me too. When I go to the beach and I do offerings, what I like doing that is very simple is bringing natural incense. Like preferably the sticks. I'm not trying to start a beach fire. Not that, you know, that's really a concern, but, you know, better safe than sorry. Anyway, I like getting ones that are natural and just sticking them in the sand and lighting them.
That's so smart. I want to do that.
It's just such a simple way, especially if you're already going to sit there and be like taking patience in a moment with the ocean. It is very like, this is going to sound so fucked up, but it is such a lazy way to give an offering while still giving an offering with doing something you were already going to be doing.
I know. Now I'm going to take that, and I'm going to do that when we go at night and while Good I idea. Do my whole meditating. That would be so fun. I make like the kids, and because we always take like some of the witchling's friends with us or their cousin, and I go like the Scarlet, like it's my turn, and we take turns like meditating for like 10 minutes and walk up and down the beach.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
Thank you.
Do you ever collect ingredients when you're at the beach?
Oh, hell yeah. obviously not a lot. Like, I think it's very important to be, you know, you don't want to be one of the causes of further beach erosion. But I do think you can take like a few trinkets and while asking for permission to do so.
A few trinkets.
Oh, a few trinkets.
A couple of trinkets, if you will.
But I love... My favorite thing to find is driftwood. I don't know why. I have like this deep connection to like driftwood, and I think they're so, the ocean creates such lovely pieces with like wood, and I know it's poisonous, but if you burn it, like, please don't burn driftwood. It's actually, if you're going to do it outside and far away and well, like, do not ever do it inside. But
I think you should like huff it.
The flames are so beautiful from the driftwood. Mm-hmm. It's just really gorgeous. And I don't know. It's just, I love picking them up. But also finding like fossilized coral, and just like it kind of like connects you to like, you know, how old the ocean is and connecting like to its like ancientness whenever I find it. And obviously seashells, like I feel like I have a whole article actually on Patreon where I detail like the different correspondences between like the different types of seashells. And then for those like... I go off of color for what they mean. I love finding like black seashells. I forgot what beach my family went to where it was like almost exclusively like black seashells. And it was so cool. And I was like collecting them all.
Yeah, I have some seashells in a bag that are like super special to me that I've collected, and they all are like connected to different memories.
I love finding stuff and just connecting it to memories.
And I feel like such a fucking like 90s mom because I'm like, what if I put them in a bowl on the back of our toilet? What if I put them in our bathroom on the back of a toilet? Wouldn't that be wonderful of me?
Oh, guess what we're doing? We decided we went to a store. It was like a secondhand store, and we found a box that was like someone had hot glued seashells all over it, and
all over the
it
box?
Was like a jewelry box. Yeah, it was like a jewelry
box.
That is
so like 90s coded, though. That's so funny.
I want to do it. Me and the Witchling both agreed we want to do it. Because I'm already creating an Aphrodite altar.
Ooh,
like a better one.
Yeah.
Because I already have a little one, but I'm making a bigger one. And I think that would be
perfect. I really like taking, you know, the ones that are like the scallop seashells?
Mm-hmm.
I like taking those and putting sea salt in them and then putting like candles into that.
Yeah.
And using them as like ocean when I need like ocean related things. So again, kind of going back to that femme energy, like when I need things that deal heavily with like changing emotions, etc. I usually use that in spell work that way because it becomes this like representation of kind of like the energy I'm trying to hone in and not really as like an offering or similar. It just is like, because when we talk about emotions, they are so conceptual. It takes a conceptual thing and makes it visual, I guess.
Yeah. No, that completely makes sense. Yeah. I actually use seashells quite a bit in my practice, especially for like communication spells and things like that. What was I going to say? I was going to say something. Another thing that I like to look for, I know that this is mostly northern beaches, but like finding shark teeth is a lot of fun. Yeah. And then you can use them in like spells for like protection magic and stuff like that. My uncle
especially
has
again,
some crazy
going back
ones.
To the ocean being connected to our emotions, protections with our feelings. So we don't get our feelings hurt.
Yeah, absolutely. My uncle has found like ones that are like 5 inches long and
oh my god.
Yeah, they're huge. They're huge.
That's crazy. But, that's like actually crazy.
You can find so many great shark teeth, like in the Maryland area. That's where he lives. And oh no, it was fun, like shark tooth hunting. I was just doing it for spell work. So yeah. But anything else you want to say about the ocean?
Not really. I think we covered everything we want to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. We go next week.
As always, love to hear how you guys utilize the ocean.
Yeah. Tell us.
So, Robin, what is stirring your cauldron right now?
Thank you so much for asking.
Oh, you're so welcome.
So I finished my giant blanket, my fair blanket.
I saw that. It looks so soft and cozy.
So I finished the blanket. I finished my fair socks. This bitch about to tear up the Siskiyou County Golden Fair, bitch. Yeah, if you're in Northern California, come to the Golden Fair and praise my work.
In front of the judges?
No, unfortunately, they judge privately or whatever.
Hate that.
But yeah, you go ahead and take a photo next to it and then send it to me. And then we can be weird little freaks together on the internet going, we were at the same place. That would be fun. But I'm feeling very good about it. I put myself on a real timeline. I work tirelessly on this fucking blanket since the end of February. So I told my sister-in-law, if you don't love this blanket, that's fine, but you can literally never tell me. When I come over, I better see that blanket out like it's been used, even if it hasn't been.
She would be crazy not to use it. It's beautiful and looks so soft.
Yeah, so I'm feeling very, it's cozy too. It's squishy because it's double knit. So it's like two blankets together. So it's like really squishy. And I feel very good about it.
You should.
I've started my next project. I've started my 3D glasses inspired sweater.
Oh, I'm so excited about that. That's going to be so cool.
Yeah, I finally started it. I am almost to adding the yoke to the sweater because it's a raglan. So you don't know what that means, but it just trust me. I'm almost to a point that I can just like knit. And I feel excited about that. And I also got my kids sweaters mapped out. I'm making them both scrap sweaters from like scrap yarn that I've got. And I ordered a little bit more mini skeins. So I feel really excited about all that.
That's fun.
I'm excited to have them matching sweaters this summer or winter.
Cute. Summer, wow. Making them kids sweat.
Come on, kids. Let's get hot.
Don't worry. When they're teenagers, they just wear hoodies and stuff all the time. And it was like 100 degrees outside. It's crazy.
I'm going to hit them in the head with a brick if they do that because overheating is not a joke. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. Unless I had to. So, Maria, what's not stirring your cauldron this week?
I don't know what I'm going to tell you. So, I have dealt with insomnia on and off throughout my life, and it really sucks. Last night I was up really late. I didn't go to sleep until 5. But it's so funny because during those insomniac moments, this is kind of like a negative and positive, like what's not stirring. It's like creativity like hits me really hard during insomniac moments. And I get a lot done when it comes to creativity. So I'm very thankful for that ish. You know, like when your brain is so busy and you have to do it then and there. If you're not going to do it, you're not going to get it right. You're not going to get it how you envisioned. And yeah, that's just where I was at last night. So I was working on, I am a matron of honor for my friend's wedding. And so I have to do a speech at the reception.
I refuse to be called the matron of honor. I'm the maid, bitch. You're not a day past 15.
I literally just got a sticker for the card that says old hag on it. So
I love that for you, bitch.
But I wrote almost the entire thing out last night because I was just thinking about it and everything I wanted to add. So, yeah,
it's gonna be good.
Yeah, and it's really funny. I think it's
pretty fucked up. You have another best friend, but whatever. I forgive so you. But no, I don't.
You literally said
I'm literally
so
just kidding.
In this episode, I'm literally just kidding.
Don't ever disgust me again. Don't look at me. Don't perceive me, bitch.
Don't perceive me.
You guys, I'm under attack. So she's gaslighting all of us. This is crazy.
I'm going to say that from now on when someone says something negative about me. Stop perceiving me, please.
Don't perceive me.
But the good thing about like also being in a like being having insomnia the night before is I'm very much in a liminal state all day. So my clients' readings are going to be popping. They're going to be so good and so full of information. So yeah, they're looking forward to that today. Anyways,
yeah,
insomnia.
If you've just joined us this week, every week we talk about creatives that we are loving right now. This is shops, social medias, books, arts, other podcasts, just whatever we have found organically, not ads, that we are rocking with. Now, that being said, Maria, who are you fucking with this week?
Oh, I'm doing another ceramic artist because of course.
Because of course.
These are like ridiculously pretty. Like I love the black and white, how she does the black and white aspect to the cups, the mugs that she does. And there's this one, oh my gosh, I'm trying to think about what it says, but it's something political. It's like I really want that one. That one is very cute, and I don't know, I just really like the contrast. You don't really see too many people do like that high contrasting, but I think that's one of my favorite types of like things when I look for like ceramics, you know, just look, because I never buy them because I am just appreciator, because I will never be able to get to a drop in time. Nope, ain't gonna happen. But
no, I am obsessed with these. These are beautiful.
Right? Aren't they so pretty?
The contrast is so cool. Okay, so who I'm fucking with this week is a illustrator called Celia Mellisville Studio. They do oracle and tarot decks. I believe that they're in French, but they do have English as well on them. But what I'm obsessed with is the fact that they look like books. The boxes they look like books that go on your shelves, and then you take them out and the cards are in it. And I like,
cute.
Why has no one thought of this before? It is so cool.
I think I have one deck that's like that, where it's like, it looks like a book in this case.
I'm really, really loving this idea of it looking like this book, because the tarot is a fool's journey. It is a story. It is a story of life and living and like, wow. You know what I mean? I just think it's such a, I don't know, it's such a clever and beautiful nod to, you know, tarot at its core, as well as I'm sure that because the artist is a illustrator, they do cottagecore stuff. And so I'm making assumptions here. They don't seem as though somebody who actually reads tarot and oracle decks, which lots of illustrators don't. And they just do it because they're, you know, sharing their art with us.
Yeah, it's a mini gallery
right.
that you can own.
Exactly. And so there's no shade to that at all. And I am making an assumption. Maybe they are a reader of these things. But if I am right and they don't read, it is an incidental perfect nod to tarot, in my opinion. Our listener choice this week was sent to me multiple times. Guys, we can stop sending me this. The musician is called The Yellow Button. Not the musician, I'm sorry. The account is called The Yellow Button. They are a musical
creative. So they like share music with us, that sort of thing. Specifically, what everyone has been sending me is they have a post on Dungeon Synth. And it is music that is giving the vibe of Dungeon Synth. And they all thought the four people who sent me this really need you guys to see this post. So it will be straight up linked in the caption. I'm going to link the Dungeon Synth in the caption so we don't have to worry about it anymore. And everyone will have seen it. I love that the four of you who sent me this went, this is so good, everyone needs to hear it immediately. And so here we are. I love that there's an overlap.
yes, I feel like this is going to become my entire personality. I'll just listen to it all day.
It is the music that the yellow button shares is actually like, it's incredibly good. That being said, if you have got a creative that you are rocking with right now and you would like us to see, please reach out. Send them to us. We would love to share what you guys are rocking with. Well, thank you all so much for joining us this week. We hope to see you again Friday, June 26th for our next Coffee Talk episode, or July 3rd for the 9th episode of Season 7. You can keep an eye out on our social media or head to our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com, to find out more information and see what we're up to. And don't forget to join us at the end of the month on June 29th for my class on child magic. Childhood whimsy magic. I don't have a name for it.
No, I think what? Inner child magic? I don't know.
There you go.
Yeah. But additionally, our Patreon Magical Beginnings offers a special sorry, one second. Lord. Okay. Additionally, our Patreon, Magical Beginnings, offers a huge library of articles about witchcraft, a Discord community full of fun events and discussions, and we even have tiers to offer one-on-one conversations with Robin and myself. We can either talk about your witchcraft practice, or we can even pull tarot cards for you. Just let us know what you want.
And we're happy to do both.
Yeah.
And please, if you are loving our sexy, sensual Chef's Kiss voices, take a moment to review us from whatever streaming service that you are tuning in from, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever it might be. We love reading your reviews, and rating us with 5 stars helps us to be seen by others. Thank you everyone who has already done so and everyone who will in the future. We really appreciate you.
Yeah. And again, this is Coffee and Cauldrons
with Robin from At a Tired Witch Everywhere.
And I'm Maria from At Magic with Maria Everywhere.
You ready?
Are you ready? Yep.
One, two, three.